The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
It's coming up on 8:50. A reminder that at 10 o'clock this morning, we will have live coverage of President Bush's press conference, ranging from issues of immigration to North Korea. That'll be live from Chicago coming up at 10. Right now, the pre-opening market report, and here's Dave Dickey.
Thank you very much, Jay, and good Friday morning, everyone. USDA released its export sales data for the week ending June 29th this morning. It looks like this. Wheat in old crop, 11.0 million bushels. Corn, old crop, 32.1, and new crop, 18.1. Soybeans, old crop, 7.9, and new crop, 2.3. We'll discuss the implications of those numbers in just a few minutes with the folks at Strategic Farm Marketing. Slaughter hog prices today are called mostly steady in what market sources predict to be a very light trade to end the week. Terminals called steady to light, tops from $44.50 to $50. Peoria called steady today with a top price of $44.50. And the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Thursday, July 6th, voluntarily reported negotiated swine purchases were 10,759. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $62 to $70.60. The weighted average, $69.57, a loss of 26 cents from Wednesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $48.19 to $57.67, the weighted average, $54.19. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 9,977. The base price range was $62 to $72, the weighted average, $70.04, a gain of $1.32 from Wednesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $48.79 to $52.27, and the weighted average was $50.17.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser. And the hokey pokey continues, Ed.
Oh, it will. And a lot of it is just riding on little changes in the models. Yesterday, people were talking about flip-flops, and really there's not big flip-flops in what the models say. There's just changes in some interpretation by some that make it a little wetter or a little drier. And, of course, that makes a big deal as far as the markets go, because the markets are just riding on every little nibble of information. And the models last several days. I can go back to Monday and just say for our forecast here, look dry after July 4th, right on through this weekend, and then showers and thunderstorms in the forecast for next week. That's what we said on Monday. We're still saying that. We still think that showers and thunderstorms will be back in the forecast next week. Starting to look at more of the details, it does look like that showers and thunderstorms will start to become possible even on Sunday in parts of the upper Midwest, back into Nebraska and eastern Colorado and Kansas. There could be some decent rainfall in eastern Colorado and western Kansas on Sunday. Now, of course, out that way, there's not a whole lot growing at the moment because that's the hard red winter wheat belt and we're between seasons there. But nonetheless, some of the very, very dry areas out in the high plains likely to get some rain. It looks like some showers are then possible in Nebraska, also some more up in Minnesota and parts of Wisconsin on Sunday or even late Saturday. And then as we get into Sunday, the showers move through Wisconsin and southward into parts of Iowa, northern Illinois, northern Indiana, and Michigan. Now, it's not going to be a widespread heavy rain, but scattered showers in those areas as early as Sunday. Now, this area pushes a bit southward into Monday, so the shower chances then push into the Ohio River Valley, and more rain possible in Nebraska, and there might even be some into parts of South Dakota. And South Dakota has been turning dry of late, so a chance of showers there on Monday. And then as we go into Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week, some weather disturbances will be moving through with clusters of thunderstorms in the Midwest, highly variable rainfall, but some locations could pick up heavy amounts of rain. The areas that need it most include southern Iowa on into central Illinois. It looks like there is a shot of that, and that is going to put pressure on the markets today. And, of course, then next week we will have to look and see what actually happened in those areas and also look at the details, the fine comb details of the forecast early next week. But it does look like rain is in the forecast for next week. As we go through the week next week, it will be warmer in the Midwest. Temperatures are going to be pushing into the upper 80s and lower 90s in many areas. And I do think that by the time we get to the latter part of next week, we will see heat out in the plain states, and that will start to expand eastward. So there could be some days late next week into the weekend of the 15th and 16th, where temperatures could get well into the 90s around here. So we could have a few very dry days, and a lot of that's going to be dependent on how much moisture comes down ahead of that warmer air. But I don't see the crop burning up, at least not in the eastern two-thirds of the Midwest. The only areas that I'd really get really concerned about heat on right now would maybe be some of the western areas. And of course, as we look at the spring wheat belt, they've been running dry and hot, and it looks like more hot weather coming in during the middle to latter part of next week. So they're going to continue to struggle, especially Montana into western North Dakota and portions of South Dakota. The farther north and east you go, the more moisture they've had and the less problems they'll have there. But that's a problem area. Moisture is also going to be at times hard to come by in the Delta. That's a look at the growing areas. I'm meteorologist Ed Kieser.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson and Morris at 815-941-3751. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
One programming note, the presidential press conference has been moved up to 9:49 Central Standard Time. So next hour for the opening market report, we will be preempted, but you can hear it on the web at WILOAG.org. Look for the link that says Live Programming for Agriculture, and we'll have it there for you next hour. In the Thursday overnight trading session, Kansas City September wheat opened at 518, down a half, last trade down 6. July wheat of the Board of Trade opened at 390, unchanged, last trade up 1. December 425 and 3 quarters, unchanged, last trade down 3 and a half. July corn opened at 246 and 3 quarters, up a half, last trade down 4 and 3 quarters. December 270 and a quarter, unchanged, last trade down 5 and a half. July 297 down a half, last trade down 4. July beans opened at 607 and a half, down 1, last trade down 10 and a half. August 613 and a half, unchanged, last trade down 13. Noves 636 up 3 quarters, last trade down 12 and a quarter. July soybean meal opened at 177 up 180, last trade down 120. July soybean oil opened at 27 even, down 12, and last trade down 12. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Tom Mann of Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, Dave.
Well, you better have your full armor if you go into the pits today, because there's lots to crunch. You have crop production estimates out from Informa. You have export sales data. You have changing weather patterns. You have, from the trade, their wheat production estimates and ending stocks estimates for 2006 and 2007 ahead of next week's July 12th crop production and world agricultural supply and demand estimate reports. Wow, what's important?
Well, I think it's like, who's your daddy? It's more like, who's your weatherman? And, I mean, we've seen a flip-flop of weather. Now we've gotten another little rainier impulse put in by someone. And, you know, it's just going to be one of these things where we're going to get whipsawed on this thing. When you have a tendency to be a little bit dry and you've got forecasters out there, and I'm not going to say that they're trading their positions, but sometimes it sure seems like it. And this market is not for the weak of heart. And to be honest with you, exports yesterday were okay. I mean, they were in the range where they should have been, and we've got some old crop and new crop on corn and really some fairly firm numbers. Now, what really could weigh heavily on the market, like you said, was Informa's numbers that came out, and I believe their production number was 10.912 billion on corn, and that's above the USDA estimate of 10.55. So is that negative corn? Yeah. How many people are going to believe it, and how long is it going to last? I mean, it may be a day thing only, and by the time we come in on Monday, it could completely go away. A lot will be determined by how the weather acts over the weekend. We're also sitting here looking at soy production number of 3.116 versus a 3.08 from the USDA. So all numbers are up. What they're crunching is on some higher trend line yields, and I don't think that maybe Informa believes all the acreage numbers at this point either on corn and beans, and there may be some shifting going around. And I'm not sure whether it's going to come out of wheat or where it's going to come from.
Very good. Thank you very much, Tom.
You're welcome.
Tom Mann of Strategic Farm Marketing. He is in Champaign, Illinois. You're listening to WILO Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois.